at that stage, many of those cockatoos were up in and around the main building and greeting the customers as they entered the facility, and the things that they'd learnt, you know, during that time, you know, like you say, you know, words that they can speak.
Yes.
You know, they carry on to now decades later. So, okay. So some of our cockatoo species can live easy 80 years plus. So
it's wonderful. And do they make a good pet?
Yeah, they can. They can definitely make a good pet. I think it's important, you know, that we're considering first the longevity of an animal, and you know, the same could be said for reptiles or anything. It's a commitment for the lifetime of that animal. It's kind of how you go into it. So it's important that you consider how long you're gonna have it for, and whether you can facilitate it through there. And that's not just, you know, being able to have a space for an enclosure. It's having a space, you know, for that bird in your day.
Of course.
That you can spend time with it, and because these animals, you know, whether it's a bird or a snake, if it isn't sort of interacted with, might become a bit nippy, and that makes people more reluctant to interact, and those behaviours become worse and worse. So,
yeah,
they're all important.
And so, if anyone is going to keep one as a pet, it's very important to have a good environment and spend time with them, as well as not just being left in a cage all day.
These are social species, yeah. So, in a domestic setting, it is different to the way that we do things, you know, at the zoo. You know, we're looking at sort of either pairings or flocks of birds, or, you know, and often depicting them, you know, in those wild manners, you know, in various different formats. But yeah, certainly usually your domestic setting is, you might have a sulfur crested cockatoo, so that bird is going to look for attention, interaction, stimuli.
And so when's the best time to go and visit these birds? Feeding time, perhaps?
Yeah, in the mornings they all get fed about kind of 9:30, 10 o'clock. Everyone's got, you know, new food in there, new browse to chew up, you know, stuff enrichment. So that would be, you know, for the bird enthusiasts. But it depends on what you're coming to see at the zoo. You know, if you want to come and see the wombat, then I would suggest a different time, obviously. So,
yes.
Yeah, or come spend the day, see it all.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much, Blake and Kyle. And is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish?
Yeah, I would like to say that of all the cockatoo species that we do have, the glossy black cockatoo is one that's near and dear to our hearts. There is a pair at the zoo. We're pretty new to having the hen for that pair, and next season would be pretty keen on seeing a bit of breeding. It's something that Kyle and myself have worked towards for a long time. But I think even if we don't breed again, just having them as ambassadors there for the local people to be aware that they are endemic. I know that they're on the local news very recently. There is things that people can do to support the longevity of those animals. And, you know, sometimes it's as simple as planting a tree, which, you know, a seedling is nothing. You know, if you've got a land care or something, you know, you put these birds are very unique in that they nest in eucalypt trees, but they feed from casuarinas, so they need the diversity of these species. They need them to be close so they can sort of move from one to another and back safely. You know, so we can do simple things like that, and securing the trees that we already have in our properties, making sure that we're conscious. Just because a tree's dead doesn't mean that it's not being used by a bird to nest safely. If they don't have those safe nesting opportunities, they will be forced to choose less ideal places, like closer to the ground, etc. You know, and that's a whole nother conversation in terms of our feral cats, feral dogs, red fox, all the things that might impact populations of birds like this. So it's a holistic approach to conservation that's going to achieve having all of the uniqueness that we've been able to kind of appreciate in our lifetimes, that, you know, maybe our kids won't. So it's the little things that we can do. A lot of people think, oh, I donate to this or I donate to that. And it's great if you can do that. You know, not everybody can.